He looked at me as he spoke about that, but I took little notice, being far more interested in one of the servants, who was a young girl, perhaps 4 or 5 years older than me, who was startlingly pretty with a mass of black ringleted hair. And I wondered if she was the girl who Alfred kept close, so he could thank God for giving him the strength to resist temptation. Later, much later, I discovered she was the same girl. Her name was Merwenna, and I thanked God in time for not resisting temptation with her. But that lies far ahead in my tale, and for now, I was at Alfred's disposal, or rather at Elswith's.
"Uhtred must learn to read," she said.
What business it was of hers, I did not know, but no one disputed her statement.
"Amen," Beorca said.
"The monks at Winburnen can teach him," she suggested.
"A very good idea, my lady," Beorca said, and the toothless bishop nodded and dribbled his approval.
"Abbot Hewald is a very diligent teacher," Elswith said.
In truth, Abbot Hewald was one of those bastards who would rather whip the young than teach them, but doubtless that was what Elswith meant.
"I rather think," Alfred put in, "that young Uhtred's ambition is to be a warrior."
"In time, if God wills it, he will be," Elswith said. "But what use is a soldier who cannot read God's word?"
"Amen," Beorca said.
"No use at all," Alfred agreed.
I thought teaching a soldier to read was about as much use as teaching a dog to dance, but said nothing, though Alfred sensed my scepticism.
"Why is it good for a soldier to read, Uhtred?" he demanded of me.
"It is good for everyone to read," I said dutifully, earning a smile from Beorca.
"A soldier who reads," Alfred said patiently, "is a soldier who can read orders, a soldier who will know what his king wants. Suppose you are in Northumbria, Uhtred, and I am in Wessex. How else will you know my will?"
That was breathtaking, though I was too young to realise it at the time. If I was in Northumbria and he was in Wessex, then I was none of his damned business. But of course Alfred was already thinking ahead, far ahead, to a time when there would be one English kingdom and one English king. I just gaped at him, and he smiled at me. "So Winburnen it is, young man," he said, "and the sooner you are there, the better."
"The sooner?"
Elswith knew nothing of this suggested haste and was sharply suspicious.
"The Danes, my dear," Alfred explained, "will look for both children. If they discover they are here, they may well demand their return." "But all hostages are to be freed," Elswith objected. "You said so yourself."
"Was Uhtred a hostage?" Alfred asked softly, staring at me. "Or was he in danger of becoming a Dane?" He left the questions hanging, and I did not try to answer them.
"We must make you into a true Englishman," Alfred said. "So you must go south in the morning. You and the girl."
"The girl doesn't matter," Elswith said dismissively.
Breda had been sent to eat with the kitchen slaves.
"If the Danes discover she's Edmund's bastard," one of the aldermen observed, "they'll use her to destroy his reputation."
"She never told them that," I piped up, "because she thought they might mock him."
"There's some good in her then,"
Elswith said grudgingly. She helped herself to one of the soft-boiled eggs.
"But what will you do," she demanded of her husband, "if the Danes accuse you of rescuing the children?"
"I shall lie, of course," Alfred said. Elswith blinked at him, but the bishop mumbled that the lie would be forgotten, so forgivable. I had no intention of going to Winburnen. That was not because I was suddenly avid to be a Dane, but it had everything to do with serpent breath. I loved that sword, and I had left it with Ragnar's servants, and I wanted her back before my life took whatever path the spinners required of me, and to be sure I had no wish to give up life with Ragnar for the scant joys of a monastery and a teacher. Breda, I knew, wished to go back to the Danes, and it was Alfred's sensible insistence that we be removed from Batham as soon as possible that gave us our opportunity.